Our next speaker is the progressive congressman from this district, our longtime progressive champion, Mark Pocan. He is a fighter for labor rights. He is a fighter for fair trade. He is a fighter for all of our progressive values. But in addition to that, Mark Pocan is just plain funny. He is a brilliant guy. He used to do these video stand-ups from his office when he was our assemblyman, where he would explain issues in this pithy, fast way, and you would just understand in less than 5 minutes everything that was going on in our state capitol. I really miss those. I hear that he's going to start doing it in Congress. Mark Pocan was our representative to ALEC back before anybody knew what ALEC was. He wrote for the Progressive Magazine about the American Legislative Exchange Council. He was the one who coined the term a dating service for corporations and Republican politicians. He is somehow eternally optimistic, cheerful, a happy warrior for our cause. We are so lucky to have him. Please join me in welcoming Mark Pocan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It is great to be here today at Fighting Bob Fest. There is absolutely no other place I would rather be. And that's not just because I spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C. I am going to start out by saying something very controversial, and I hope you'll give me just 1 second. To Scott Walker, thank you. Thank you for running for president. Thank you for giving us a reason to watch the circus of a GOP primary. Thank you for letting the nation see your accomplishments in Wisconsin. It has been entertaining, to say the least. Who would have thought that any candidate would have compared his constituents to ISIS? Or would say that the single greatest act of foreign policy of Ronald Reagan was firing the air traffic controllers? Or that mandatory ultrasounds are cool? Or suggest that we build a wall with Canada? You just can't make this stuff up. So thank you, Scott Walker. Now the nation knows what we've all known for a long time. Marquette still has the diploma. All right. Now we can all have a good laugh at Scott Walker and the crazy GOP circus running for president, but there is a very important takeaway from all of this. Even Scott Walker's crazy message isn't connecting, because people are fed up with the current political system. Just look at who's leading in the GOP polls. Reality show star and businessman Donald Trump, Ben Carson, a surgeon and author, and now Carly Fiorina, a businesswoman, is making a recent surge. And on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders, while officially in the Senate and part of the system, is running on a message of disrupting the status quo. It is clear that people are tired of politics as usual and the status quo, and who can blame them? We just had a busy week in Washington, a busy week not passing a continuing resolution to keep government open, taking us less than a handful of days from a government shutdown that will cost this nation billions of dollars. On October 1st, your government could be shut down in a manner that resembles a small, struggling third world country because the Tea Party refuses to do their job in Washington. And if you watch the national news, you would think there are about 20 members of Congress. They go back to the same people about the same issues that don't really affect people back home. That's because all the political class wants to do is talk about inside the beltway stuff and not things that affect all of us. People want to hear about issues that they're discussing at their kitchen table. How do you pay for your mortgage, send your kids to college, save up for a family vacation, all while your paycheck is stagnant and your purchasing power is diminishing? How can America look like it does, but not have our government govern like it looks. How can we want our children to have opportunities and their families can thrive, but that means focusing on the homeland first and not sending them into harm's way for big oil or other outside needs? Now, there are a lot of issues that as progressives we could talk about and people are talking about today, from climate change to access to quality, affordable education, and so much more, but I have 10 minutes. And I am going to focus on three important issues that I feel are getting way too little attention from the Washington insiders, but they mean everything to the real people here in Wisconsin and across the country. Those issues are income inequality, the changing face of America, and our country's role in the world. Those are the things that I hear people really care about, and we need to thrust into the national dialogue. First, income inequality. We've all seen the stock market go up, way up from the crash in 2008. Employment continues to go up. Corporate profits are way up. The productivity of American workers has increased greatly, and there's one thing that hasn't moved: wages. Over the last four decades, the bottom 90% of wage earners saw their income increase by average of only $59 annually. And since 2009, incomes of the top 1% has grown more than 31%, but incomes of the bottom 99% has moved less than 1%. In other words, the top 1% saw 81% of all of this country's increased income since 2009. And right now, CEO pay is more than 350 times that of the average employee. Just in 1988, that ratio was 40 to 1. That issue isn't even on the radar of the political class in Washington. The millionaires in Congress and the political class in Washington don't have a clue on what it's like to just get by, much less to have diminishing purchasing power. And we can change this by making this the number one issue that we deal with about raising the wages of American workers and fortifying the middle class and those struggling to be in the middle class. The solutions, that means stopping things that cost our jobs and our wages, like more bad trade deals, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership that sends jobs overseas and further lowers our wages here. That means investing in education from pre-K to higher education so that no one who is talented enough and able enough is deprived from an education simply because they can't afford it. We must raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour and guarantee sick leave and other benefits for workers so we can grow our economy and invest in our future. And we cannot afford to keep pandering to big corporations and Wall Street, and we must help workers have a voice in their lives by helping build strong unions again. Another very important issue is the changing face of America. When the Constitution was written, less than 20% of the population could vote. White male property owners over 21. That's not where we are as a country today. America is changing and has changed. And yet we have a system that still largely benefits those who have traditionally held power for over 200 years. Often women and people of color are left out of the conversation. This is how America is changing. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, by 2043, men and women of color are estimated to make up the majority of the U.S. population. And that's a threat to many in the status quo. The Tea Party has risen in part because they feel threatened by the real America. And we need to fight against their rhetoric to make reforms that benefit all Americans, not just a privileged few. People all too often ignore problems of racial inequality and discrimination, and we need to make changes that make life more equitable. I just want to share a very quick story. When I was a state legislator, I was in Washington, D.C. with two representatives from Milwaukee. One was Representative Antonio Riley, an African-American legislator from the Milwaukee area. And he went out to get us a cab, and the other two of us took about 5 minutes to get out there, and he was still waiting for a cab. As soon as we got out, the cab pulled over to pick us up. Tony Riley had asked if that person would have picked him up if he was out there alone, and the driver said no. And he asked him why. He said, "You'd have been going somewhere I didn't want to go." Think about it. That's the reality for far too many people in this country today. And far too often, we have primarily connected with the African-American community through the criminal justice system. And that, too, has been terribly misrepresented by the status quo. According to the U.S. Sentencing Commission, that in the federal system, black offenders receive sentences that are 10% longer than white offenders for the exact same crimes. And in the war of drugs, it's even worse. Black men are sent to state prisons on drug charges at a rate 13 times that of white men. Incidents of racial profiling and misconduct not only target men of color, but they significantly damage the trust and the safety in all of our communities. We need to fix these disparities, and we can do that by ending mandatory minimum sentencing for drug offenders and prohibiting law enforcement officers from engaging in racial profiling. We need to diversify our law enforcement like our country is and work within those communities to regain the trust we need. And our current system also hurts other people of color and women as well. A significant portion of the low-wage jobs are comprised of women and women of color. For every dollar a man makes, a woman makes 78 cents. But an African-American woman makes 64 cents, and a Latina woman makes 54 cents. We must develop policies to deal with this, from passing pay equity legislation to helping build our nation's unions. And we don't need to hear the GOP candidates battle about who is going to build a bigger and better wall in more places around the country. Almost this entire debate around immigration has been based on fear and faulty rhetoric. We need to pass comprehensive immigration reform that gives a path to citizenship for aspiring Americans. And finally, our role in the world. Our global community is also in the process of continual change. From our communication systems to our business structures and more, the shrinking world means that we have to be a more collaborative part of it, but we don't own it. We can't continue to be the global police force, nor can we go it alone. We must be a partner in the global community, as was the case with the recent Iran nuclear deal. And that's why I supported a diplomatic solution with a path to peace in the region, brokered by a coalition of nations. Because when we work with nations, even those we don't always agree with, we are stronger, not weaker. The old model, military might, is an old model. Military intervention may not be the first or most effective thing we can do in the world community. And once again, real people like us get it. When I was first elected 2 years ago, when we were talking about U.S. involvement in Syria, 2,200 of you contacted me in 2 weeks, 97% against intervention in Syria. Thank you. America needs to be engaged in the world, but the engagement has to be in diplomacy, in assistance that helps build democracies and nations, and when a stronger response is needed as part of the greater world community, that's the real definition of strength. The bottom line is that people want real change, and you don't get the things I just mentioned from the current political class. It's abundantly clear from the people that I talk to in the district that what we're seeing is we want real, tangible change to our political system. It's unsustainable for our system to continue as business as usual when it's failing so many Americans. And that's why the 2016 election is going to be so crucial. When it comes to elections next year, I don't care if you feel the burn, or you're part of Team Hillary, or you're on board with O'Malley or Lessig or any of the others. I can tell you firsthand how important it is to have the White House in an era of the Tea Party domination of the GOP. I see the effects and destruction every single day. We must and we will rally together next November to make sure that the Tea Party never gets the White House, won't we? And you know, Wisconsin is going to be front and center in this fight. Not only are we a swing state that is a must-win for someone to get the White House, we have the nation's most important Senate race up, and our own Russ Feingold is running to take that seat back for the progressives. I don't need to go down Russ's resume. You know it. He is a responsive and authentic progressive. He has gone to every single county in this state every year to make sure he's talking with the people of the state he represents, not the political class in Washington. In 2001, he was the only senator to vote against the Patriot Act, and Russ was right. He was an early opponent of NAFTA, saying it would cost us jobs in Wisconsin that would ship overseas. In 2002, he decreased the role of soft money thanks to the McCain-Feingold Act, and he was one of 23 senators to vote against authorizing the Iraq War in 2002. And in August of 2005, he was the first senator to ask for the removal of U.S. troops from Iraq. We know his record. We know that when he was in Washington, Washington worked. Are we going to be there to make sure that he can help Washington work again? So in closing, are you tired of politics as usual?
Yeah.
Are you tired of not hearing the political class talk about how we raise wages in this country, address racial injustice, and be a better partner in the global community?
Yeah.
Are you tired of Scott Walker and Ron Johnson and the conservative-dominated state legislature and the Tea Party in Washington?
Yeah.
Good, because so am I. We all have the power to make the changes necessary to ensure our country has a bright future, and it starts with your help at the grassroots level. It starts today and will continue every day until we succeed. Thank you so much, Fighting Bob Fest. Thank you. On Wisconsin. Thank you.